إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, we continue with the series on the question, why are we Muslims? We dealt with the first of them, which is the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the connection with Him, the understanding of His glory and majesty, and how He and what He has, what He does for us, His blessings. And we seek His forgiveness on the day when we will meet Him, inshallah. We ask Allah to make that the best day of our lives. The second part of this is our connection with Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. This is a part of Iman. It is not history. It is not discretionary. It is a part of Iman. It is part of the Kalima. Muhammad Rasulullah is the second part of the Kalima. That Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last and final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. That he is abduhu wa rasuluhu, that he is the abd of Allah and he is his rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him for bringing this deen to us. We follow this deen because it was brought to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To love the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as I said, is part of Iman. It is part of our Aqidah. It is the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave with a wa'id, with a severe warning for those who do not love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over and above everything else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised them His azab. It's not, Allah did not say it may happen. Allah said, go and wait. فَتَرَبَّسُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned again after that, وَاللَّهُ يَا لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Verily, Allah does not guide those who are rebellious. In this context, those who rebel against the hukum to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to love Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to love struggling in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than they love everything else. And in this ayat in Surah At-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enumerated 8 things which people normally love, and the love of which is not haram, it is halal. In some cases, as in the case of love of parents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in other places in the Quran specifically ordered us to love them and honor them. So it's not as if Allah is prohibiting us from doing things which are in any case bad. No. In this particular case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning things which are normal and halal, and which are worthy of reward. And as I said, in the case of parents, things which you have been ordered to do is love them and respect them and honor them and be kind to them and be soft with them and so on and so on. Despite that, when it comes to loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, loving Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and loving, struggling in the path of Allah, jihad fi sabilillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enumerated these 8 things and He said, if you love them more than you love this, فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Go and wait for my azab. Allahumma hafizna. So therefore, the love of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some people seem to believe that this is nice to do. If you have it, if you don't have it, it doesn't matter. There are other people who treat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without the maximum honor and love and affection and respect that is due to him. And they say, no, what is the importance of the Nabi? He was a messenger, he brought a message, he went away. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajun, na'udhu billahi min dhalik. These are kalimat of kufr. These things take you out of Islam. There is a series of lectures of mine on this issue of rejecting Rasulullah and rejecting the Sunnah and the Hadith on Rasulullah. Please listen to them. I'm asking Umair to put the links of that in this Fajr Reminder also, So listen to those lectures. Love of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as I said, is not optional. This is part of aqidah, this is part of iman. The one who does not love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not just love him, but love him more than he loves anything else, is not even Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not my fatwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in the Quran. If Allah says, go and wait for my azab, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promising the azab for? For people of Jannat al-Firdaus? No. Allah's azab is for the people of Jahannam. So as far as that is concerned, and there are many other ayat in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned even things like joking about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Very, very important things to understand is about joking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you say this and you say you are joking, you did not mean it. Allah says, you have left Islam after having entered it. Just joking. And then even more. In one ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that those who do not accept your ruling and judgment, Allah is talking to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, those who do not accept your ruling and judgment on any matter, and do not have a ill feeling about it in their hearts. Yeah? Allah said, they are not Muslim, those who do this. Now think about this. You know and I know that as far as accountability is concerned, it refers to speech and action. What I say and what I do. What is in my heart is free from accounting. Yes, we know this. And this is the ayat of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah will not hold you responsible for those things. But in the case of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is changing his own law. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if my Nabi rules something, if my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that to wear your trouser above your ankle is good for you and to wear it below your ankle, you should not wear it. And if you don't like this, the issue is not even whether you are doing it. Maybe you are doing it for some reason, Allah knows best and may Allah forgive us. So, I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying that if you say, what kind of thing is this? You know, this is against fashion and I want to do this and what not. And what is this? So important? You know, what is the importance of this? Where the trouser is? May Allah forgive us. We say a lot of stuff. May Allah forgive us for that and count it among our jahalat and forgive us this jahalat. But seriously, if somebody says this, I deliberately mentioned something which within quotes seems to be unimportant. So if somebody deliberately says this or doesn't even say it, feels that in their heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that person is not a Muslim. Now think about this, that for everything else, if I think about stealing, I have not committed a sin. If I think about doing ghibat, I have not committed a sin. If I think about murdering somebody, I have not committed a sin until I actually go and do that. Yes, this is the law. But if you think negatively about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not only counting that as a sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, get out of Islam. You are not even Muslim. So the love of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is absolutely paramount as far as this deen is concerned. It makes absolute sense. Because if you cannot respect and love the one who brought this deen to you, what value can that deen have for you? If you don't respect the one who brought it, if you don't respect the teacher, then what the teacher is teaching cannot have value. Nobody can say, even in a normal situation, nobody can say, I have no respect for the teacher, but I have respect for what the teacher is teaching. That's nonsense. Right, that's not, how can you, it's not possible. I mean, if you don't respect the teacher, you cannot respect the knowledge. So, the same thing applies as far as Rasulullah is concerned. Now, therefore, the reality also is that you cannot love somebody that you do not know. Natural, logical thing. I mean, you don't know someone, you cannot love somebody who you don't know. And that is the reason why studying the seerah of Rasulullah ﷺ, studying his biography, studying about his life, is absolutely critical to understanding Islam. It's absolutely critical to following Islam. Therefore, I remind you and myself, let us make the study of the seerah a absolutely urgent part of our reading and studying. We take this very lightly, may Allah forgive us. Even in our religious institutions, the seerah of the Nabi is not a formal subject which is taught and which is examined. I have never understood how this has remained the case, and how any syllabus that does not have the seerah can be called a serious syllabus. I don't accept this. If there is no seerah of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the syllabus, as far as I am concerned, this syllabus is null and void. It has no value whatsoever. But this is unfortunately the case with our syllabi, even in our religious institutions. Let me not even talk about the Muslim schools or the so-called secular schools. Obviously, it is not there. We teach the biographies of all kinds of people, but not of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So seriously, make this your number one priority. There are many, alhamdulillah, those who have written well. There are many excellent books on the seerah. I will also send some recommendations of the books with this further reminder. Get those books and read them. Consider it to be something which you should have done, God knows, 50 years ago. Do it now. Absolutely critically important. Second thing is, do what the Sahaba used to do. The son of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu says that my father used to gather us together as a family, and he used to talk about the ghazwat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to talk about the battles which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam fought. And the Sahaba, this was the practice of the Sahaba, that they would sit together with their families and they would talk about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did in this case and that case and that case. Because if a person becomes familiar to you, then you learn to love them. The beauty of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that, you know, in English there is a proverb which says familiarity breeds contempt. So, and this is true for practically everybody. It is definitely true for all the so-called stars that we have, all your film stars and rock stars and pop stars and football stars and cricket stars and so on. Go a little bit, you don't have to dig too deep also. Go just beneath the skin and you find all kinds of khabasat and all kinds of nonsense that is happening in their lives. But this is the beauty of the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the lives of those who followed him bil ihsan, the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, and the great scholars of Islam and so on, that the more you learn about them, the more you love them. This is the beauty of them, that the more you learn about them, the more you love them, especially true of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The more you study the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the more you will learn to love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So study the seerah, very, very important. Third thing is, keep the company of those who respect the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is very important. What destroys us today is the company we keep. It's as simple as that. It's the kind of people we move around with. It's the kind of people, our social circles and so on, you know, who invites us home and who invites us to this party and that dawat and so on, and where we go and we don't go. This is what is destroying us today. All kinds of nonsensical customs, all kinds of rubbish we accept and we sit silent, because now you went there, you ate his biryani, what can you say? So it is very important for us to choose the kind of company we keep. Please understand, have no hesitation whatsoever to say, I will not come. Halas. Nothing will happen. Believe me, nothing will happen. And if you are worried about friends, I always say, no matter what you do, you will always have friends. If you are among those who habitually finds himself waking up in his own vomit in a drain because he drank so much the previous night, you will still have friends. You will still have friends. You will have a lot of friends, believe me. You will still have a lot of friends. And if you are one who habitually wakes up in the night and stands before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and goes in sujood and cries tears, you will still have friends. So whichever end of the spectrum you are, you will have friends. Don't worry about that. Think about, what kind of friends do you have? Are they friends who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that these are the friends who on the day of judgment, when everyone is enemy to each other, illal muttaqoon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, except the muttaqun. On the day of judgment, they are not going to be enemies to each other. They will be friends. Do you want those friends? Or do you want a friend who on the day of judgment will denounce you and say, Allah, throw this fellow into the fire first because of him I am in this place. Allah mentioned this specifically in these words in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they will say, give them double the azab. Who? These leaders who led us astray. Yeah, today they are following them very happily. And they think they are very, you know, great idols and great icons. On the day of judgment, they will curse them and they will tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give this person double the azab. Which kind of friends do you want? Which kind of friend do you have? Which kind of friend do you want to be to others? This is very important. Don't forget about popularity. As I told you, popularity will have anyway. So therefore, with respect to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, find people who respect the Sunnah. Find people who follow the Sunnah. That will first of all make it easier for you to follow the Sunnah. Because there is a constant reminder. You look at the person's face, you understand this. You see the way he talks, the way he eats, you know, what they do, all of this. And secondly, it will bring about a love for the Sunnah in your own heart. Because you are moving with those people. So choose your company. My brothers and sisters, it's very, 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 very late already, at least as far as I am concerned, where we have lived our lives far too long in disobedience. It is high time we wake up and start doing some things, because when we go into our qabr, believe me, no friend is going to come with us. We will go alone. We will go all alone. So what is this, addiction to toxic friends who are no good to you in this dunya and who will be the means of collecting evil which you will have to pay for when you go into your qabr because of them. What kind of things is that? Really, seriously, we have to ask ourselves, what is the level of my iman? Can't I understand even this much? So very seriously, as far as the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is concerned, read his seerah, practice what he did, practice his sunnah, and have friends who will remind you of that, and by being in their company, you start loving Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Final point, his sunnah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the path to Jannah. His sunnah is the way in which we can convert every action of ours into an action of ibadah. I will ask Umair also to put a link to my khutbah on this. How can I convert every single action of mine into an action of worship for which I will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? By following the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I drink water to quench my thirst, but if I drink it according to the sunnah, not only will my thirst be quenched, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give me hasanat, will give me rewards for drinking water. I'm giving only one example, but this applies across the board. I have to clip my nails, but if I clip them according to the way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to clip those nails, my nails will be clipped and neat, and I will get hasanat and reward for clipping my nails. I have to put on my shoes. If I put them on the way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam put them on and he taught us, Allah will reward me and give me and count that as an action of ibadah, as an action of worship, putting on my shoes, which I have to put on anyway. And I can go on endlessly, which I will not go. But this is the only thing that can convert every single action of ours into an action of worship. And that is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We send durood and salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends salam on us 10 times for every single time that we send durood on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the best of those durood? Durood Ibrahim, which we recite in salah, sitting down in tashahud, in the position of tashahud. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill our hearts with the love and honor and glory and respect for Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and to make our lives a reflection of his life, and to make our akhirah in his company, and to enter us into Jannah with him and behind him, and to give us Jannatul Firdaus bi ghairi hisab. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.